This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dungeon Madness by Dakota Kraut. Narrated by Vikas Adam. Prologue. Roughly 23 days ago, a sibilant yet melodious voice sounded in the pre-dawn darkness. "Prepare, my acolytes. It is time to begin. For too long we have suffered injustices at the hands of the Children of Light. Each time we have worked to better the world for those like ourselves, we have been forced once more into obscurity and degradation. This is truth, yes? Our time has finally come! As one, hundreds of men and women of multiple races stood to attention, then briskly and properly genuflected toward their dark leader. "Hail, Master! It is as you say!" Their timing, beat into them, was perfect. Their voices were synchronized. Necromancers were bowing to another being. The entire fighting force showed a discipline and level of training that had not been seen in a military since before cultivation became widespread so many millennia ago. Black eyes flicked between the bent forms, studying posture and ensuring proper respect was given. Slowly, a smile appeared on the face of the master. It would have made any sane man shudder. "Lovely. And well done. It is far past time to give you all your orders. Rise." The people straightened their posture as one, trying to never show a hint of discomfiture in their master's pernicious presence. "As I am sure you remember, those of you who survived the last time we tried a plan of this magnitude, we were stopped. We were rushed, unprepared for our true opponents in the world. We were defeated because of one simple fact. We stepped into the scorching light before we were ready. We allowed ourselves to be goaded, to react to the fear and hate the propaganda spread against us." The voice paused, savoring the moment. "Now, we are ready. We prepared the caverns and the altar. Our brother sacrificed himself to become our arsenal, and all he now needs in order to provide us with an unending stream of weapons and minions, all we need are sacrifices." Monstrous creatures stepped forward, falling into ranks behind the rigid horde of necromancers. "Go. Take your creatures, your minions, your slaves. Take them and do what no army of the undead has done before. Return with captives." The master gave a minuscule nod to his troops, and they began to cheer fanatically. The undead moaning and clattering joined the noise, and soon the terrifying laugh of demons and abominations joined in as well. The hordes marched into the night. They would bring captives as ordered, after they had their fun. 1. Dale's group wearily began ascending the stairs that led to the surface. Covered in dust, blood, and other foul substances, their main goal at this point was to clean themselves up and go to bed. They began moving upward, but Dale nearly missed a step when a voice sounded in his mind. "Can you still hear me?"
"Son of a—" Dale whispered as his eyes darted around.
The others in his group took no notice of his odd behavior. In their minds,
There were plenty of reasons that Dale might be talking to himself. He had just died, after all.
I'll take that as a yes. Try something real quick. Instead of speaking aloud, try thinking your words at me,
I eagerly directed him. Dale's mind spun as he tried to think of something to say before finally landing on the obvious.
What are you? He thought, as hard as he could.
Danny, I'm not getting anything from him. What should we do? I think talking aloud will make people think he is mentally damaged, so... Oh, is that it? Yeah, I'll tell him. Dale, hi, my name is Cal. I am the dungeon, so kind of aim your words at me.
Dale again tried to use his thoughts, pretending he was talking to this Cal.
Hello?
I responded in a very excited tone. There we go! Listen, Dale, I don't really think you should tell other people about this. We don't have time for explanations since you are about to meet up with a bunch of powerful people, but we will talk later.
Hey, you can't just suddenly pop into my head and then not give me any info.
Dale began thinking indignantly at the voice. At that very moment, they reached the top of the stairwell and opened the door to find a sea of cheering people, sprinkled with a handful of furious faces.
You irresponsible little shit!
Madame Chandra stepped forward and started aiming a slap at Hans, who had the highest cultivation rank of Dale's group and was their de facto advisor. Rose smoothly stepped in and blocked the blow, shock on her face.
Grandma, what is wrong with you?
We just saw you fight a beast, Rose,
Chandra hissed at the young half-elf.
He was supposed to protect and guide you all, not lead you directly into a death trap.
Rose stayed firm in the face of the High Mage.
He did everything he could. That beast was something none of us could have expected, and it broke almost every bone in Hans's body when he attacked it, giving the rest of us a chance.
Rose was flushed and furious.
We would all be dead right now if he hadn't been able to inject poison with the daggers he found. That cat was moving too fast for us to land a single hit until Hans basically sacrificed himself for us.
Several healers voluntarily stepped forward and offered their services to the weary group as Rose tried to calm Madame Chandra down. Most of the healers subtly avoided Dale. He was covered in a foul, waxy substance that stunk like rotting meat dipped in a latrine. Rose slapped away a few hands that got a bit too liberal with their examinations, while the hulking barbarian of their group, Tom, allowed the hands of blushing ladies to roam freely. Hans chose that moment to collapse into unconsciousness, quickly followed by Adam, their cleric. Adam had used a large portion of his cultivation base to create a powerful incantation during the fight with the magnificent beast, a distortion cat. Using his essence in such a manner had permanently dropped him a full rank, reducing him to D-rank 4. If his cultivation rate continued as it had in the past, it would normally take him a year or more to attain his former power. Luckily for him, he was near a high-density source of essence and should be able to rank up much more quickly. Hans's issue was more basic. He had recently had many of his major bones broken as well as suffered major internal damage to his organs. The intervention of the glitterflit-type bashers in the dungeon had healed him enough to escape the dungeon, but after a cursory examination from a healer, he was rushed off to surgery. Several of his bones had been shattered, and when they were repaired inexpertly down below, hadn't aligned properly. Hans would need to be shaped by a flesh mage to fix all the damage correctly, and would be out of commission for at least a week. The other members were also properly examined after that announcement. Luckily, all of them were deemed healthy. Dale was given several odd looks, likely because he was far healthier than the others, and he had recently died. Although, obviously, he had gotten better. Several people tried to grab his attention, but immediately upon catching a whiff of his rank self, they all made appointments to meet him later. As soon as he was deemed healthy, Dale rushed to the river to get cleaned up.
Frank had sent a runner to get him soap and clean clothes, refusing to allow Dale to walk through highly populated areas. Dale pulled off his armor at the edge of the river, diving in as the last bit of clothing fell to the ground. He surfaced with a gasp, the ice-cold mountain water shocking his system. He looked around as the water darkened and quickly began scrubbing himself as hard as he could with some sand to break up the crusty mess on his body. The slow current carried the foulness away. A fish bobbed to the surface a few yards downstream, stunned by the high concentration of toxins dripping from Dale's body. He had never heard a fish gag before. The young man shuddered as he remembered the sadistic beast that had skewered his heart, how it had stared into his eyes, practically laughing as the light faded. He tried to remember what had happened next, but there was a blank between that and waking up again. A very unexpected outcome. He was shaken from his dark thoughts when a young man ran up with a basket containing a robe and toiletries. Dale thanked him and promised a tip when he got back to his tent. The freckle-faced boy grinned and ran off to his next task. Dale had a reputation as a good tipper. After scrubbing at himself for nearly 10 minutes, Dale realized that no matter how much effort he used, he couldn't seem to get rid of the odor. With a start, he realized his mistake. He quickly found a toothbrush and crushed mint paste in the basket. While he enjoyed the feeling of his teeth returning to a normal taste and coloration, a small crowd of people gathered at the edge of the river. These people were his current council. Father Richard, to represent the church and its interests, Guildmaster Frank of the Adventurers Guild, High Magus Amber of the Mages Guild, specifically the smaller subset of the Portal Guild, Madame Chandra to represent the, well, her own interests, Dale supposed. To round out the group, there were a few people that came with these esteemed individuals to take down notes.
"What?"
Dale croaked around the toothbrush, letting some foam drip down his chin.
"Never seen a dead man take a bath?"
One of the note-takers gagged. Father Richard's eyes flickered with some dark memories.
Of all the things I have seen dead people do, I have to admit that bathing is a first for me.
Dale snorted, sending tears to his eyes as the mint in his tooth cleanser burned his nostrils, though he welcomed the pain. It was the first time he had smelled something new since he woke up.
"No, Dale. We are here to make sure that you are okay,"
Madame Chandra spoke gently. Dale snorted again.
"Am I okay?"
He pondered a few moments.
"Yep, just dandy."
He spat out the toothpaste and dunked under the water again, rinsing himself off one last time. He walked to the shore, tired enough that he was willing to ignore the fact of his nudity as he came out of the water to collect his armor. He grabbed it and unceremoniously began scrubbing the accumulated filth off his breastplate. Amber gasped at him.
"Dale, your body! Oh my!"
Tears sprang to her eyes as she looked at the previously husky man. His body looked emaciated, the flesh sagging around muscles that no longer pulled his skin taut. All fat had been burned away, leaving a very thin man with haunted, blazing blue eyes.
"Your eyes used to be brown, didn't they?" Richard muttered under his breath.
Madame Chandra took a more direct approach.
"Dale, what happened down there? We saw only the last bit of the fight when the darkness cleared away. We saw you get killed, but then you got up for some reason. How? Actually, no. Leave the armor here, and I will have it cleaned professionally. You are just swirling that goop around. Put on that robe, and we will go to the pleasure house. You obviously need some food with high nutritional density, as much as you can eat, on the house as usual. Come with us, Dale."
Her speech ended on a pleading note. Dale nodded, dropping the armor and stumbling toward her. His stomach more screamed than growled as it was reminded that food did, in fact,
exist somewhere nearby. Frank wrapped him in a robe and led him toward the restaurant, with the others following behind. Cal.
I had tried communicating with Dale again several times after he had left my dungeon, but as soon as he stepped fully out, either he could no longer hear me or was simply not responding. Well, fine. I have more important things to do than keeping tabs on a low-level adventurer anyway. I'm having some trouble here, Danny, I told my faithful Wisp.
Anything like the cat that nearly killed us?
Danny chuckled sardonically. I thought for a moment, just long enough to make her grow nervous. No, nothing like that. Danny nodded fiercely.
Good. Because you promised me that you would take a week off experimenting, right?
Well, a few days. Would a few hours be sufficient? Doing my best to ignore her glare, I quickly continued. Let me explain the problem. When Dale's new group came through here, I threw everything we had at them. Everything. There are no living mobs in here except a few shroomish, and with the barrier over the entrance, we are not getting any influx of essence from outside.
She began to look a bit concerned.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
I tried to ease her stress. I don't know if it will be too much of an issue. After all, they will most likely open the door in a few days. The essence gathering rune script in here is pulling in every drop from the dungeon and keeping it here while I work to absorb it. What I wanted you to consider is adding a new floor and possibly changing how I do a few things. She looked at me querulously.
Changing a few things? Like what? I like the idea of adding a new floor, but will you have the essence to do that and make changes and respawn every mob in here?
Every time she said "and" like that, it made me a bit more nervous that I was giving myself too much to do, but I felt that these things all needed to be done.
Well, I might not get it all done right away, but I will over time. Shall we go over the changes I want to make?
She acquiesced to my request a bit grumpily, but I didn't hold it against her. We had spent the last day being closer to death than we had ever come before.
Let's start with the first floor. The mining area is annoying to me, but it brings in a lot of rather weak people every day. I want to expand that room so more people can work at once and widen the entryway so that a full contingent of miners and tools can come through if need be. Right now, two people can squeeze through the archway at a time, and I want to make it wide enough for at least five.
Danny thought for a moment and nodded.
That'll be fine if you are going to add another floor anyway. Can we get rid of shroomish and other weak things on that floor? Oh, can we add a flower room there? Maybe grow some herbs in a more concentrated spot? I want a garden.
I laughed at her sudden enthusiasm.
Sure. I know you have been bored recently, so how about I give you total control over what goes where in there? In there, you say, do this, and I will follow all your orders.
About time.
She playfully frowned at me.
Thanks. It'll be the prettiest room in here.
She turned misty-eyed at the thought. I looked at her form.
Wow! You can shape your body? You literally look like a human eye that is tearing up.
Danny haughtily informed me.
There are many things that I can do that you've never bothered to ask about.
Oh? Like what?
She scoffed.
I can't tell you. How would I be able to remain aloof and mysterious? What?
This sort of response is why I never ask.
She squeaked with outrage, flashing crimson.
Anyway, I was thinking that we leave the bashers on that floor with a squad of enhanced bashers as the floor boss. We leave the shroomish. They are our only ranged attackers. Sorry about that. On the next floor, we have only enhanced bashers with the old Alpha Squad's upgrades, keeping Rail as the floor's boss. Good so far?
Yes. But I feel like you were about to make me mad again for some reason.
She muttered her dark premonition.
Good guess!
I chuckled at her glowering.
I want to make the third floor a mix of distortion cats and advanced bashers with a cat as a boss, if I can manage it.
Cal! We just got the distortion cat killed, and you want to make more of them? Aren't you going to have bad memories seeing them all the time?
Danny demanded. If she had feet, she would be stomping around throwing a tantrum. I tried to soothe her.
No. I think that making them our guards will help us get over it quicker.
Plus, we survived just fine, didn't we?
Not the point.
She sighed loudly.
Fine. What else?
I smiled, knowing she was as interested in these changes as I was, even if she pretended otherwise.
Well, you know how I sometimes get distracted when battles are going?
Danny snorted.
What? You? Distracted?
You think that you are so funny. Back to my point, sometimes people don't get the loot that they should because I forget to drop it for them.
What would you say if I wanted to instead have a place in the room for loot?
A place where all the loot goes that they should be getting. That way, I can just refill it when a group empties it. Oh, better yet, I can set one of these essence collectors to a seed pattern. Then it will automatically refill.
I was nearly shouting in excitement by the time I finished.
I thought you liked giving personalized loot.
Danny reminded me of the fun I had messing with people.
Well, I still can, right? If I see something really spectacular or learn about a glaring weakness, I'll reward them for it.
I promised her.
I'm thinking a box? Maybe a hole in the ground?
Danny rejected those options.
No, it needs to be something obvious. How about we make a treasure chest?
A what?
It is essentially what you are describing, a really fancy box that swings open on hinges. We can put it at the exit to the room so groups will have to survive and travel all the way across the room to collect the rewards.
Danny was getting excited that she could use her experience from before she bonded to Cal.
Kanjor did something similar, but I never knew why, so I never brought it up. Now it makes perfect sense.
Great. You will help me with the design, right? I've never seen a chest before.
I was excited to start, but there was more to discuss.
Now, since we are getting larger again, I was thinking that instead of only allowing the people on the second floor to leave the dungeon on the stairwell,
I paused for dramatic effect,
I could arrange the boss rooms so that after every boss, they could choose to leave. That way, people will be more confident in fighting the boss immediately.
I don't understand what you mean. Do people not feel confident when going into the boss rooms?
Danny queried with a frown.
Why do they bother to come in here then?
I explained my reasoning as succinctly as possible.
I should hope they are worried every time they fight. What I mean, though, is that some people will turn around and leave instead of fighting the boss because they are worried that they will be too injured afterward to get out of here.
If there is an option every level to make a quick escape, the bosses will get a lot of kills, much faster than they normally do. If they get enough kills, they may be able to evolve naturally without my help. That is my hope, at least.
Smart,
Danny exclaimed.
That's a good plan. Where should we start?
Let's change up the first floor, then populate it. After that, we will make the small but necessary changes to the second floor and finally add on the third level. If I work hard, I think I will be able to get everything done before they unblock me. I chuckled at the thought that I would soon be able to fight again.
2. Dale woke up flailing, reaching for a weapon to throw off the shadowy figure stabbing his. He sat up, shaking off the nightmare. Grimacing, he attributed the night of tossing and turning to eating like a pig right before bed. Certainly it couldn't have been because he was stabbed through the heart the week before. He almost started drooling at the memory of the huge steak and sides of vegetables, although they had barely satisfied him. With all his meridians opening at the same time, his body had used all available resources to purify himself and supply essence to the tissue throughout. A week to heal and recuperate wasn't enough, but it would have to do for now. Thinking back to how no one had an explanation for how it happened without his knowledge, he felt a little better. If no one else knew what had happened, maybe it actually was the dungeon who had fixed his body. Maybe he wasn't going insane and hearing voices that weren't there. He shook himself, refocusing on his body. His essence was pouring along the open meridians, constantly infusing his flesh with health, strength, and resilience. His body looked ruined, emaciated to a skeletal frame. He looked down. His ribs were prominent enough to be countable, and his waist looked positively non-existent. Despite his outward appearance, he had never been stronger. His muscles were permanently infused with the essence that now flowed through them, strengthening him beyond what his body had been capable of before. Dale could arm wrestle a small bear and easily win right now, and his new body was at its weakest point currently. While he would be able to put flesh on again, he would never need to worry about gaining fat. His body now processed food very quickly, burning through all the calories and protein he could take in. When he was again well fed, his muscles would be like steel and his skin like hardened leather. His stomach chose that moment to remind him to go eat, so he reached for his armor, only to find it missing. He looked around wildly, then shook his head as he remembered how Madame Chandra had told him that she would have it cleaned and he could pick it up today. This also reminded him that he could eat at the restaurant for free for the next week, since he had saved Rose. He perked up. The Pleasure House served breakfast. He got to his feet, expecting stiffness or pain, but his body moved as smoothly as if he had just had a light workout. Must be a side benefit of all the essence sloshing around in him. Before stepping out of his tent, Dale started cycling essence to his eyes so he could see the flow of power in all things. With this enhanced vision, he could see blots of color moving around outside, denoting moving people. Seeing no one near his door, he cautiously stepped outside, feeling naked without his armor.
"Boo!" a harsh voice shouted next to him.
"Ah!"
Dale whipped around, raising his fists, only to see his friend Hans laughing at his terror.
"Ha ha ha!" Hans laughed, slapping his knees as he doubled over. "You sounded like a little girl. Oh, man! Woo-hoo! I needed that. Thanks, buddy."
Dale glowered at him.
"Hans! You should be resting. Also, don't you think that you should be a bit nicer to me? I died last week."
"What?" "Nah, that isn't something to get worked up about. Happens to all of us. You are fine now, right?"
Hans stopped laughing once he saw the serious look on Dale's face.
"Dale."
Hans sounded deadly serious now, almost angry.
"You can't let this affect you so much. Yeah, that sucked, but are you going to give up on cultivating? Are you going to stop fighting in the dungeon? Should I? I owe over 600 gold to a flesh mage for all the re-sculpting of my body. Should I just tell him, 'Too bad, I'm done fighting because it is dangerous?'"
Dale looked like he had been slapped.
I don't," he stammered. "The correct answer is Abyss No,"
Hans shouted, getting angry now.
"Dale, look at you. Sure, you look like shit, and you smell, and it is likely you won't get a woman until your 80s, but what else is new? How do you feel? Do you feel like a warrior, a champion that slew a monster way above his cultivation rank? Or are you going to allow yourself to feel like giving up so you can keep acting like a victim?"
Dale flushed.
"I'm not acting like... Oh, really? Then why have you been all weepy and pouty this whole week and so far this morning? Yeah, I heard how you were acting, and I've been watching you for almost a whole day to see if the information was accurate. I was embarrassed for you. You are acting like a spoiled little brat that has a bunch of people to run his life for him. Did you even realize that the entire council was there last night? Why do you think that was? You think just maybe they might be getting together to see if you are mentally fit to continue owning this land? You think they might be plotting to petition the king for a writ that will allow them to take the land from you if that is the case?"
Dale's face paled. He hadn't realized that was even a possibility.
"You need to start going to council sessions and stop letting people you barely know make all of your major life decisions for you. Now,
Tell me that you were acting stupid because you were tired, and you will be the strong, assertive Dale I know you to be!
Hans nearly shouted in his face.
I'm sorry, Hans. I have been acting stupid because...
Dale swallowed.
Because I was so tired out. I'm good now. I'm all ready to get back to the team.
Hans' demeanor changed like a whiplash.
Oh, great. Good morning, Dale. How are you today?
He went in for a hug, acting like he hadn't been about to start slapping the man.
I'm... good?
Dale licked his lips nervously. Hans shoved him away, spitting.
Gah! I know I was standing close, but you didn't need to lick my lips. What the heck?
Hans spit to the side.
You need to brush your teeth. Well, your morning breath isn't fresh and minty either,
Dale shouted back. They both stopped for a second and looked at the other. The tension lasted only a moment as they both started laughing hard enough that their sides started to hurt.
Ugh. Come on. Chandra owes us breakfast. I'd rather not go back to the mess hall. I hear the head cook has been on a rampage because no one is bringing him herbs anymore.
Free food at the pleasure house. I'm so there.
They started walking toward the towering restaurant that had savory smells wafting from it, collecting their teammates Adam and Tom on their way. They exchanged pleasantries as they made a beeline for the food. That is, they took many unnecessary turns and side routes in order to avoid the early morning traffic. By the time they reached the doors, Adam looked ready to faint from hunger, and Tom was getting loud. Tom boomed at the now nervous host.
Hello, tiny person. We need a table as presently as can be arranged. As a boon from the owner, madam, we have been offered a place to eat as often as we are able to find the room in our stomach. I have found the room. Have you yet found a table that can seat us?
The stammering host tried to get in a few words, but as soon as Tom stopped speaking, a side door slammed open, revealing Rose in a set of comfortable robes.
Tom, keep it down. It is barely light out, and if you keep the noise going, you are going to wake up Grandma. She will literally slice your face off.
I highly doubt that she would,
Tom began loudly, just before Hans slapped him lightly across the face. Hans whispered, wide-eyed,
I've seen it happen. She is strong enough that she replaces it and heals you, but you really don't want that to happen. It is rather unpleasant.
Tom flushed, then went pale. Mutely, he nodded. As they were led to a table as far from the ground floor as possible, into a room where the highest quality food was served. Quickly, a server appeared with a selection of exotic fruits and fried meats for an appetizer. More courses were laid upon the table each time one was finished, so there was no point in time when they did not have food readily available. Finally, groaning, they had to beg the server not to feed them anything else. He smiled and bowed, vanishing into the kitchen as they prepared to leave.
Well, what should we do today?
Adam pulled the group with a loud burp.
Oh, more room!
He finished a small scrap of meat on his plate. Dale shrugged noncommittally.
No idea. The dungeon is going to be closed until they finish the walls and stuff around it. They don't want to take any chances that the mobs will escape and attack unprepared people again.
Just when I was finally able to start cultivating,
Rose sighed in frustration. As a chaos cultivator, a person who had dual affinities in celestial and infernal essence, she had never been able to properly cultivate before going into the dungeon. Even after the trauma of the last few days, she was eager to get back into the dark depths. Hans looked around, seemingly offended.
Ugh. What do you all mean by we? I thought that we had decided that we were a temporary party.
When everyone looked at him in shock, he chuckled.
I'm just playing. There are some things we should do today, though. Tom, you need to come with me to the main guild tent. I'll sponsor your entrance to the guild and make our team official.
Hans glanced at Adam next.
Adam, you should get with Father Richard about the best way to strengthen yourself and learn to use your staff to its best effect. Rose, you should get your bow checked out and get ready for this evening. Dale, you know what you need to do today.
He gave him a significant look, which made Dale nod and look away in shame. Rose looked at Hans with a raised eyebrow.
What is happening this evening?
Hans grinned lecherously.
Our second date, of course. He waggled his eyebrows.
In your dreams, old man.
Rose crushed him without a second thought, walking away.
I have my own plans for the day. See you all later.
Adam hadn't said anything, but his face was pale. Dale nudged him.
What? You okay there, buddy?
Adam nodded slowly.
You want me to train with Father Richard? Is this Richard Demonbane? The man trained by Cardinal Kier Nolson, the Slayer of Shades?
His voice was frantic and rose in pitch to an uncomfortable level as he spoke.
I've never heard that title before, but I only know one Father Richard, so... most likely?
Dale smiled at his pale friend.
Don't worry. He's really nice.
He does sometimes take over conversations, but otherwise he's a really good person to be around.
Hans joined in smoothly. Well, I mean he'd have to be. But meeting your childhood hero isn't often an easy task.
He grinned slyly at the now blushing Adam.
Is it Adam? Eh? Is it?
Leave the cleric be, my mentor. Allow us to tarry here no longer. My heart races at the thought of joining the guild. A childhood dream is what thee wishes to acknowledge? The guild, and being one of its members, has always been my dream. I have held this dream dearly for years, and...
Tom's voice faded in the distance as a sour-faced Hans was pulled along toward the guild tent.
Heh. Come on, Adam. I will introduce you to Father Richard. I have to meet with him anyway.
Dale started leading his friend away when the host for the restaurant yelled for him. He turned back.
Yes?
3. Dale? The host asked to make sure of his identity.
Yes?
Dale leadingly prodded.
The man nodded. I have some gear that was left for you by the Sword Polishers.
Dale did a double take at the name.
What? I'm not sure I should be associated with... Oh, my gear! They are the professional cleaners, then?
Yes. Please gather this up. I can't lift the Morning Star more than...
The host trailed off and blushed as he realized that he had said more than he intended.
No problem.
Dale stepped into a small side room and put on his armor, smiling at the familiar weight. For the first time since he had purchased it, the armor didn't stink, have any blood on it, and was rust-free. It also didn't fit quite right, but seeing as his body was several sizes smaller than it had been the last time he wore it, this made sense. Leaning over, he picked up his bound Morning Star. The massively oversized weapon weighed almost 40 pounds. Without the runes on it that allowed for it to be nearly weightless in his hands, he could have never used it in combat. When he supplied a bit of essence and activated the rune, he could swing it as easily as a thin stick, without losing any of the destructive force its weight afforded. Truly, it was a potent weapon. He stopped admiring himself and looked around for the shield, not seeing it. He stepped outside and asked the host where it was. The man uncomfortably informed him that the shield had been destroyed in the dungeon, and the scraps that he had brought back were unable to be salvaged. Dale nodded. He had expected this, but had been hoping it was not damaged so extensively. It was a rental, after all. He met up with Adam outside, and they moved toward the only other permanent building currently in the area, the church. Walking into the Colosseum-style area where Father Richard gave his sermons, they admired the solid quartz floor that normally allowed people to see into the dungeon's boss room. To their shock, instead of the boss floor below them, all they could see at the bottom was a purplish rock that Dale recognized from previous encounters.
"Cursed Earth?"
Dale gasped, dumbfounded at the sight. A morose voice sounded from across the open area.
It appears so. It seems the dungeon has blocked the view until we open the front door again. Why, dungeon, why do you do this to me?
Dale looked up and saw Father Richard standing from his morning prayers.
Oh, just who I was looking for. Father Richard, this is Adam.
He is a cleric that joined my group recently, and we were hoping that he could come to you for training in the celestial arts. Richard sighed, eyeing a blushing Adam.
Why not? It isn't like anyone comes here for a sermon unless they can see the fighting going on below. I suppose I could use an acolyte or two. Come along, we will start immediately.
He turned away. Adam hastily followed, but stopped when Dale cleared his throat.
Yes?
I'm going to be calling a council meeting today, and I was wondering if you have a room that we could use to stay away from prying eyes and ears? Dale delicately informed him, looking around at the empty building.
I'm sure we could manage that for the right price.
Father Richard began earnestly. Dale cut him off before he could finish, a bit of steel in his voice. Surely, in this very large church, you could find a room the council could occasionally use? Father Richard looked confused for a moment, then began to sweat as he realized what Dale meant. When he had built the building, he had only been given one lot of land to build on, but the final construction took up 3 full lots. The price for using the land had yet to be negotiated.
Oh, yes, of course. Anything you need, Dale. Let me say how good it is to see you taking an interest in the work going on in the area. Come along, young Adam. Let's go see what you can do and where we can start your training.
Dale chuckled under his breath as a nonplussed Adam was whisked away. He turned around to look for the other members of the group that he needed to talk to. Hopefully, they would all be as willing to participate as the priest. He thought about the order he'd go talk to them. Dale eventually decided to find Chandra at lunch, Frank right away, and Amber just after Frank. Amber was likely a morning person, right? He would have to find out. Dale walked to the guild tent, entering directly into Frank's office, past an indignant secretary that tried to make him wait his turn.
"Some of us have been waiting for a meeting," a voice called out.
Dale looked over his shoulder to see Hans tapping his foot with arms folded in front of his chest. Dale grinned, made a rude gesture, and pulled a rope to close the cloth they used for a door.
"Good morning, Dale,"
Frank cordially greeted him.
"Can, whatever this is, wait? I have meetings all morning."
"It'll just be a moment, sir," Dale promised him with a dismissive hand wave. "I'm just letting you know that I am calling a meeting tonight. We will be holding a council meeting at the church." Frank looked up from the invoice for defenses he was reading.
A meeting for what?"
Dale nodded. This was a new thing for him, so he could deal with a bit of confusion. "A council meeting. We have things to discuss. I've let things run on their own for too long, and I need to remind everyone that this is still my land. Dinner will be provided. Please be there at 5 o'clock. He turned on his heel and walked away without waiting for a reply. Frank frowned and looked back at his invoice. 4. Dale walked directly across the well-worn path in front of the guild tent, stopping in front of a light purple tent that was roughly half the size of the one he had just vacated. There was a post driven into the ground in front of it that had a wooden plank attached. He rapped on it, assuming it was a knocking post, in an attempt to call out a representative of the Portal Guild. When no one appeared, he started knocking louder and faster, not stopping until he heard shouting. His new cultivation rank allowed him to hit the post impressively hard.
"What? Why? Is the sun even out? Why are you bothering us this early? If there is still someone out there when I get there, I am going to turn you into a newt!"
The tent flap was thrown open, but the angry face of the inhabitant quickly settled into a neutral expression.
"Oh. Good morning, Dale. What?"
"Good morning, James. Is Amber available?" Dale replied, making James pull in a breath with a hiss as he looked around.
"Dale, it is very important to follow protocol when talking about people in public,"
James noted severely.
"You need to call her High Magus Amber. Also, no, she is not some floozy available to you whenever you feel like having a chat."
"Fair enough. I will try to remember the titles. Please tell High Magus Amber that I am holding a council meeting tonight at 5 o'clock in the church. Dinner will be provided, and anyone not in attendance will lose their temporary seat on the council. Have a pleasant day, good sir. Dale nodded at the demanding man, walking away whistling as James fumed. Having nowhere else to be till lunch, Dale walked into the area that had been set aside for shopping and began browsing the shop kiosks that were beginning to open for the day. Pleasantly surprised at the variety of goods available, Dale weighed the thought of spending his coin against the thought of needing something and not having it. He had just decided to look at the potions available from the apothecary when the sounds of a scuffle reached his essence-enhanced ears.
"Please! This cost me thousands of gold! I'll be ruined! Please just take my money!"
a voice begged from the shadows of a tent that connected to a kiosk. Obviously, the merchant that was here had rented a small plot of land and set up shop. The sign out front showed a pair of the crossed pickaxes that miners used in the dungeon.
"Well then, it'll be worth taking, won't it? We'll take you up on the gold as well. Thanks for the idea."
A couple of voices chuckled at that comment, which was followed by a meaty thud, a small grunt of pain, and a sob of frustration. Soon after, the tent flap was thrown open, and three hairy men walked out of the tent, laughing darkly. They froze momentarily when they noticed Dale looking at them, but then tried to nonchalantly walk away.
"Stop right there, criminal scum!"
Dale called harshly. He immediately felt like a moron for his word choice, but what are you supposed to say in these situations? They stopped, but not for the reasons Dale wanted.
"What did you just call us?"
They rounded on Dale, the biggest one gripping the shaft of a familiar pickaxe.
"You heard me,"
Dale announced boldly, walking toward them slowly.
"Drop the pick and the stolen money. Do so, and I will let you leave the mountain gently, after you gather your gear and supplies. If you don't, I won't be so gentle." "What are you gonna do? Pass out on us? Bleed all over me? You look more than half-starved. Where did you get that armor? Your dad gave it to you? It's three sizes too big."
The big hairy man swung the pick a few times as though he were warming up. Dale was watching him and saw him pass essence into the pick to activate it, unwittingly binding it to himself. Dale's eyes narrowed.
"That was a mistake. You just bound that pick to yourself."
The man looked at Dale in surprise.
"So? It's my pick."
He let the pick swing into the ground, blasting away a huge shower of dirt and small stones as the force enhancement rune activated.
"Leave off, or that'll be you, Pipsqueak." "Well, now you have two options. You are going to have to either pay for the pick, or we will have to unbind that pick from you. There is precedent for people to die to make that happen. Please make the smart decision."
Dale looked at the others, reaching for the hilt of his morning star which peeked over his shoulder.
"And you too?"
"Shoo, brat!"
One of the muggers was clearly getting nervous.
"Hey, I'm really not looking for trouble. I didn't know what they were planning to do in there."
The big one growled at him.
"Shut it! You're in this with us!"
Dale nodded at the reluctant man. "Please lie down and put your hands on your head." The man did so, while the others jeered at him. Dale grasped his weapon and swung it to the side to bring it in front of him. The man's eyes widened in shock as he held the massive weapon in front of him with one hand, pointing it at them.
"Last chance."
One scoffed, while the other spat.
"Fat chance! That's obviously not real, so how about you fuck..."
Dale moved forward, taking an aggressive combat stance. The thieves sputtered and moved to attack before he could take the initiative. The largest brute swung his pick with a grunt, forcing Dale to dodge. The weapon hit the ground, spraying up another shower of dirt and gravel. The second attacker pulled out a short sword, truly little better than a long dagger. It was rusted from having blood left on it after battles. The blade was serrated by hand. It was likely he had taken a file to it. That would cause nasty wounds and lots of bleeding if Dale was cut, so he gave the weapon as much respect as the inscribed pickaxe. The blade licked out at Dale, but he dodged backward, turning the maneuver into a tumble as the pick came at him again. The two took turns attacking, working together in a way that spoke of long familiarity. They should have been able to easily overpower the smaller man, but there was a factor in Dale's favor that the two men didn't understand. Dale had been fighting to the death daily for months. These slow, broadcasted attacks were fairly easy for him to avoid, so long as he didn't panic. He was also trying to incapacitate them without killing them, since he had no wish to become a known murderer. The blade of the short sword came at him, but Dale stepped past it, closing with the surprised killer. He lashed out with his fist, and his newly strengthened muscles allowed him to break the arm at the elbow, twisting the bones into an unnatural shape. Thinking the man was out of the fight, Dale dodged another slow attack from the pick-wielding man. A scream that didn't sound like pain behind him made him duck. He dodged a wild blow just in time. The man with the twisted arm was swinging his sword with his offhand. His broken limb flailed around, obviously causing him pain. He didn't seem to care, but continued slashing wildly at Dale. Dale rebutted by finally bringing his weapon to bear. He swung and impacted the man in the leg, the force behind the spiked head causing the unprotected flesh to burst like an overfilled water skin. He swung again, catching the man in the head as he dived at him. The dying man was able to tackle Dale to the ground before fully expiring, leaving him exposed to the man with the pickaxe. With a strange look on his face, a cross between the sibilation of an impending kill and the loss of a longtime friend, the brawny miner stepped forward and reared back with the pick for a powerful attack. Dale braced his weapon on the ground and activated the rune, sending the head of the weapon flying forward. The oversized spiked ball tore through the side of the man, leaving a gushing, gaping hole. The miner caught his breath, gagging and vomiting before collapsing. The blood poured from him unabated for a few moments, before slowing to a crimson trickle. Dale shakily deactivated the rune, and the head of his weapon whooshed back to settle on its hilt. He felt stunned. He had never killed a human in combat before. It was too easy. The overgrown rabbits in the dungeon were harder to kill than this. Sure, they didn't have the sheer strength of these two, but they were harder to hit and avoid. Dale had to fight to hold down his gorge.
Oh, God! Oh, man! Please, sir, don't kill me!
The man lying prone begged, half-gasping, half-gagging as a puddle of blood sloshed over him. Dale looked away from the sight, almost in shock. It was disturbing how this man thought that Dale would kill him as he had the aggressive thieves.
I'm not going to. Do you have any money that you haven't stolen?
Not much, sir,
the man belatedly added, fearful that Dale would take offense. Dale sighed, swinging his weapon sharply through the air to get the gore off it, frustrated that it had just been cleaned and was now filthy again.
Keep 10 silver for the portal fee and go somewhere else. You have an hour to gather your non-stolen items and go to the portal. If you try to take anything else that you stole, you are to leave my mountain immediately. If you take more than an hour, walk off my mountain and travel without the use of a portal.
You're him. I'm so sorry.
I'll go.
The man scrambled to his feet and ran, leaving Dale wondering what the ex-thief meant by that last comment. 5. Dale grunted and gathered the stolen pick and money the men had on them, then went over to the shop and knocked on the wooden kiosk. Soft sounds of weeping reached his ears, quickly cut off as the man heard the knock.
I'm closed.
A miserable little voice floated out to him.
Permanently.
Dale had a grim little smile appear on his face.
You may want to come out anyway.
Dale?
The man shocked him by recognizing his voice. He scrambled out of his tent as Dale waited. Noticing the pick, the man fell to his knees and tried not to cry in front of the man who had given him a plot of land for so cheap.
You got it back! Thank you, Dale! Thank you!
The man was familiar to Dale, but he couldn't place him.
Here you are.
I think this is your money as well. I'm sorry to say I cannot remember your name. It has been a while, and we only met briefly. Accepting the proffered goods, the now smiling man waved away Dale's concerns.
My name is Tyler. I am a merchant that currently specializes in general goods and pickaxes for miners. I used to be an antiques dealer, but rare coins and decanters are a very niche market. I also dabbled in identifying unknown items such as runes, but the Spotters Guild is far more knowledgeable than I.
Dale smiled as well. I'm just glad I was able to help. You bought this pick then? When?
Just this morning!
A small glint shone in Tyler's eyes. Are you interested in getting into the mining business?
Not so much. My team was the one that sold it. I was just thinking that I may have some spare income for once.
Dale laughed at the crestfallen look on the merchant. Don't worry. I am sure someone else will want it as soon as the dungeon is open again.
I certainly hope so,
Tyler fervently agreed. He looked just a bit past Dale and went pale.
Oh, I see how you were able to reacquire my lost goods.
Dale looked back at the bodies behind him. Yeah, I'll go get someone to take care of those. Who oversees security around here? I'll have to report this to someone, I'm sure. Hopefully you will testify that this wasn't murder. Dale's question got him a strange look, and Tyler told him something he hadn't considered.
No one does security here. Since this is essentially a campsite right now, no one has bothered to put that kind of infrastructure in place. Also, no one can get the materials for constructing permanent buildings since there are no trees here, so instant justice is the norm. We have no prison of any type. Well, there are trees at the bottom of the mountain that we could use, but hauling those would take way too much effort for most people to bother. Since the portal is open, most people that can afford it are going home at night. Hence, this stays a campsite.
Tyler was babbling a bit, but to be fair, he had had a very trying morning. Dale's brow furrowed. He apparently had more items to add to the agenda for that night's meeting. I take it that since the main population that is staying is only merchants and people too poor to afford leaving, crime rate is beginning to increase? Tyler nodded sadly, glancing at the bodies again. Why haven't I heard anything about this? Tyler grimaced.
The people that are too poor to leave are also not strong enough to fight past the first floor in the dungeon. Look how easily you dealt with those men.
He pointed at the dead thieves.
Now, if you spend most of your time with the guild, strong men and women, you should have realized that this sort of thing is far beneath their notice. The philosophy of the guild is that the strong prosper. If you lose your property, it is your own fault for being weak.
Dale was disgusted by this fact, a side of the guild he had never seen before.
They just let it happen.
Tyler nodded again.
Okay, Tyler. You seem like you have a good head on your shoulders. You also seem business savvy, and you are the first person I've talked to that doesn't seem to have a grudge against me. Would you do me a favor?
For you? Anything!
Tyler exclaimed proudly, reaching into the secret compartment where he stored the majority of his money, obviously thinking that Dale wanted a reward. He was very glad the thieves hadn't found this drawer. Dale grinned.
Great! I am having a council meeting this evening to discuss the problems in the area. I would like you to take a position on the council. You would be there to represent the miners and low-cultivation-ranked people in the area. Would you accept such a position on the council? As a favor to me?
Tyler slowly dropped the fistful of gold coins back into the storage chest. To his credit, he did not answer right away. He carefully weighed his options and thought about the responsibilities and paperwork a job like that would entail. Eventually, though, he winced, mumbled under his breath, and agreed to join.
Wonderful. We meet tonight at the church. 5 o'clock sharp, please.
Dale waved and went on his way, returning to the guild to find someone to dispose of the bodies. After a few coins changed hands, two men ran off to collect the bodies and place them in a small wagon near the dungeon entrance. Apparently, dumping bodies into the dungeon was a convenient way to get rid of them. No one wanted to go out of their way to bury them, after all.
Dale was disturbed by how easily their murder was accepted, as well as how easily they would vanish without a trace. When it got closer to noon, Dale hurried over to the pleasure house